Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever see a more action-packed, more evenly fought football game than this? Just tremendous. Two superbly matched teams. Two of the very best in the NFL. What a matchup.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
What a build-up. We've been here since Monday, and I felt like running down and playing. He makes a little basketball twist there and pivot, and boom, the ball's there right again between the 8 and the 9.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Oh, there's a cat. A black cat is taking the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle caught by Ingram. Part of the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25 to the 24-yard line. Now the cat is stopped at the 50. Now he's at the 5. He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. Now a policeman, a state trooper, has come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you. We made it to football season.
What is happening?
Despite our state being on fire, we made it to kickoff.
Yeah, it's going to be a pleasant distraction tonight for those that are able to sit down, relax, and escape everything that they can for a couple of hours to watch the Texans and the Chiefs. Unfortunately, not everybody will have that chance tonight. But I am fired up. I cannot wait for this evening. And it's not even just that. I do want to make sure. I don't want to fall into this trap because we can do this come football season.
Oh, yeah.
We are in very unique circumstances right now. And I'm not going to overlook the fact that there's another conference final game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That there's one more NBA playoff game. Or is there two tonight? One?
Rockets-Lakers tonight.
That's right, because the other one's already done, right?
It started at 4, though. So
okay,
maybe
start early.
If the Lakers play defense, it could be over by the time the NFL game kicks off.
The Rockets keep inviting chicks to their hotel rooms. They might not have a team left by the time the game tips off.
Ooh, did LeBron snitch on him? That's the rumor.
Probably did. And we got Penn and Chase baseball. Let's go.
And then when the football game is over is when my Dodgers will decide to show up and beat the Diamondbacks in 10 innings again.
Let's go. Oh, I'm fired up, man. It's all going to be awesome tonight.
I'm with you too, man. I think it sounds stupid when you say it out loud, but I do feel like a lot of us share this feeling. We need this.
We need you,
I need tonight to have. I need Rockets, Lakers. I need to flip over to see where baseball is going. My Bravo scoring 29 runs last night.
That was crazy, man.
Check in on hockey on some commercial breaks, and I need to see Deshaun versus Patrick Mahomes on my TV.
Injected into my veins.
It is wild. Where I live in Oregon City, first of all, I thought we were going to have to evacuate as soon as the show was done yesterday.
That was an alarming text to get from you.
Yeah.
We had embers that were blown about a mile and a half up from Stone Creek, which is a mile and a half up from my house.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty terrible. It never got to level 2 or 3 or anything, but it was at level 1. But we were in contact with somebody out in Malala, and she works with my wife. She had to free her animals yesterday.
Right.
There was nowhere to take them.
Yeah, like, some people don't have like trailers and stuff. You got horses and cows. Like, how are you supposed to move those things?
They opened up fairgrounds, county fairgrounds, but those are all those
people didn't
are
have
all
time
booked.
To transfer them to Clark County and go all the way back. Right. So chickens and alpacas were released, and I'm like, well, those chickens aren't coming back. Those are going to get eaten quick.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. I got to admit, I'd never been in that situation, and I still didn't really like fear my house was going to get caught on fire.
But you were on edge.
But I got home. The wife got home before me, and she had already started packing. I put a bag together, and then we both kind of stood around and went, what else do we take?
Yeah, what do you take? You know, you're supposed to pack up.
Right. Yeah. There's a thing going around on social media, what you should pack in case of evacuation fire. And I was like, that's cool, but it's an entirely other situation to be involved in it and be in the moment where you're like, oh, God, do I take underwear? Do I take a bunch of shirts? Do I take an iMac? I don't know. But it's a very surreal feeling, and what
Sprague's carrying his TV out the front door.
I I would have packed
that thing.
I would have put the kayak on the wife's car.
Yeah, you got to keep the kayak, man.
Yeah, I know it would have got replaced, but it would have been nice to take it.
In case everything burns, you just go float in the middle of the river.
What calmed me down was I have a friend that I ran Hood to Coast with 2 years ago. And I'd met her through Dusty's wife. She was in Dusty's wife's team, so we were in separate vans. And I met her. She's a really nice gal. She had her family. She lives out a little further in the west side. And she saw my post about potentially having to evacuate. She sent a picture. She has her brother, and I didn't get his name. I should have. He is a firefighter. And he is out fighting the fire at Hag Lake, which is deep into, like, past Hillsboro.
Yeah, Washington County.
He worked a 23-hour shift fighting the fire at Hag Lake. She said he went home. He got to sleep for 2.5 hours. His chief called him because they were short-staffed. He went back, and she updated this morning. He worked a 17-hour shift on 2 hours sleep after working nearly a 24-hour shift.
Yeah, basically working 30 straight hours, 40 straight hours.
And that just, it puts everything in perspective, and I could not tip my hat more to the volunteers and to the people who sign on to do that. You can see the pictures of them when they take breaks. They're just laying on the grass. They look exhausted, breathing in that smoke. I mean, it sucked walking my dog this morning. I can't imagine being around that for 24 hours straight.
Yeah, it's just bad in downtown Portland even today.
So, you know, that was a big help, was hearing about the people out there fighting for it. And I'm like, do I take a shirt? I don't know. And it's like, well, I'd be taking anything. It doesn't matter. Right. I'd be able to leave and not worry. Whereas there are people on the front lines of that. And it was a real eye opener. And I commend all of the volunteers, all of the real heroes out there that are fighting this. Because, man, we look out of our window right now on the Willamette. You can see like half the river. And by my house in Oregon City, it's even thicker than this.
Right.
So it was a weird time last night. Luckily, it kind of calmed down by 8 o'clock. Settle in. You watch some NBA playoff basketball, even though the second game sucked. I wanted to honor and say thank you to all the volunteers and the firefighters out there right now, because this is a living hell for a lot of them.
There was a lot of those on the news last night. That kind of reminds you of the I don't know, greatness of humanity, when you get people that are able to understand what's actually important in life. And I think the key word that I always use, and you just use it, is perspective. Like, they were interviewing couples who were older, who had to flee their homes and have no clue whether or not they were burned down, and they're staying in RVs at like Clackamas Community College right now, or wherever they were.
Oh, those parking lots by my house are full.
They're just full, and people are just, you know, and there was an old couple that was interviewed there, and the husband had really bad breathing problem. He had an oxygen tank with him that was already there before COVID and before the fires started. And she had like had a smile on her face and a glass of wine in her hand. She was like, yeah, man, it's just stuff.
Yep.
You know, we'll get it back. We were able to get out. We're all okay. They went down there, and they had their RVs parked next to their next door neighbors. Both of them parked their RVs next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They were sitting out there with some booze, and they had a deck of cards, and they're just like, you know what? We're just hoping everybody's going to be okay. We don't know if our houses are still standing, but we're healthy. We're alive, and that's all that matters. And I think that's the thing when you go through the whole, like, what do you pack and what would you take? Like, of course, there are some things that you need. You take a safe, make sure you got all the required paperwork, all that kind of stuff. The rest of it, man, as George Carlin would say, it's just stuff.
It's just stuff.
It's just stuff. We don't need the stuff. The stuff doesn't define you, and it's a good perspective to have.
I picked my kids up yesterday, and my sister-in-law lives in Damascus, and they're right on the edge of that Carver fire, which is, I think Carver's in yellow right now. Estacada was evacuated, and they were starting to kind of worry. You know, they live in a very nice neighborhood, and they're a little up on a hill kind of, but even they are starting to get a little worried because the yellow is creeping closer and closer to them. I had a buddy of mine who works in construction, and he showed up with a couple kids to get his hair cut. And we were talking. I hadn't seen him in a while, and he seemed kind of like off. And I was like, what? Is it me? We haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
He had to pick up his niece and nephew and help his brother. They live in Sandy. They had to evacuate. And I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't see a follow-up. But like, I'm looking at a 14-year-old kid, probably a little older, maybe a little younger. And I'm looking at him, I'm just like, this poor guy has to like be evacuated from his house, and he's having to be explained all this stuff. Like, I feel bad for the kids too, because I didn't experience this as a kid. So there's just so many elements of this that you're like, you're right. You just step back and you go, it's just a house. It's just stuff. And I do feel that way. But You always want to take the right things.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And nobody wants to lose all their belongings. That's always terrifying.
And I think you go instantly, Dirt, into the mindset of feeling for a lot of people. Parking lot by Albertsons by my house is packed with RVs and trailers. And I drove there early this morning to check something out, and it's just packed to the brim.
Yeah.
Damn, these people are sleeping in a parking lot right now, but I bet they're just happy to have what they have and to be okay through this right now.
Yeah, there was a devastating story last night I saw in the news of a kid. I think he was 13 or 14 years old. I don't know if you guys saw that, where he was separated from his family.
In Albany, right?
I think just outside
of Albany.
And they found what they think are his remains in a car next to a dog's remains. So they, you know, got separated his family, didn't know where to go, went into a car thinking, you know, maybe this will protect me. And they found that that one shakes you when you see stories like that. And unfortunately, we're probably going to see a lot more of those. And it's just devastating. The good news, if there is any in all of this, is the fact that I think it continues to look like, as the day goes on, things are supposed to start changing. The winds are supposed to start shifting. We're going to get like a west wind coming off the coast, so it's going to be more of a cooler air. The humidity is going to go up, so the air won't be so dry. I don't know if I've ever can remember the humidity being at this level. Like, I'll go out usually and I'll water stuff at night. That's just kind of my routine because it stays wet overnight, and then you wake up in the morning and it's just a good time to water. And I'll do that now. Like, go out, water the garden, water some stuff around the house, and you go out a couple hours later or wake up first thing in the morning like I did today. It's bone dry, man. It looks like there wasn't a drop of water anywhere near, and it just tells you how tough it is when that's happening, how tough it is to fight fires. But thankfully that's shifting, the weather's changing, and hopefully that provides the help that the firefighters need.
Well, everybody stay strong out there, stay optimistic, help each other out when you can. We have a great show for you. I know we kind of started with the fire stuff, but it's too big a story not to talk about.
We're all living with it, man. It's brutal.
Yeah, it's horrible. I hope everybody's doing okay. I hope your house is okay, your families are safe. It's going to be a good show. All sports, a lot of NFL. We got basketball to get to. We've got, listen to this. This is a loaded show, right? We've never had a show quite like this one. Kevin Todd's going to hop on today. He is back for Fridays. I know today's Thursday, but we got the NFL kicking off tonight, so we'll get some NFL picks with him. He wants to wager, if he wins between me and him, I have to send him a bottle of booze.
Okay.
He's really fond of Oregon vodka. He says they drank it in 2 seconds.
Dude, we got great vodka out here, man. Oregon rocks.
If I beat him, get a kick of this.
What do you get out of this deal?
He buys me any set of golf clubs I want.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going Titleist.
Dude, you got pressure on you this year, buddy. That's a big deal.
Oh, I got no pressure. What are you talking about? This is house money.
You get a set of golf clubs out of this?
I'm out $30, $40
Sure, I'm saying that's, but you want to win.
Sure.
Yeah, the benefit is clearly in your favor there.
So KT's going to join us at 2:30. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we have got a 49ers preview as we continue the NFC West countdown, and we're going to get to that today with Akash, and I'm going to butcher his last name. How would you say his last name, Swigard?
Anavaranthan?
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 I hope that's it.
That's pretty close.
Yeah,
sounds
right. Pretty phonetic, but he's going to join us. He writes for 4thandnine.com, does a great job. That's a great 49er-related blog, so he'll join us at 2 o'clock. At 1:30, Tim Keown of ESPN will join us. He wrote the cover story of Deshaun Watson, which is quite extraordinary read.
Mm-hmm.
John Hollinger wrote about the Blazers 2 days ago. He'll join us at 1 o'clock.
Ooh, what's it going to take to get Giannis? Let's find out, John.
He kind of paints a grim picture. They're going to be good next year, but he doesn't think they're real title contenders. And then at 12:30, Robert Mays, national NFL writer. So we are packed to the grim, or to the gills today. And grim. Gills. We'll talk some NFL, get your NFL predictions. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? We got NBA to get to as well. We will start NFL kickoff today. How are we feeling about it? Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. We're going to get a good one. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, happy to be with you on radio.com and Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. All right. One thing I didn't tease that I want to give you right now a heads up on. One, you can tweet us at Dirt and Sprague. Also through at 1080 The Fan. What is your Super Bowl prediction? We want to see who can get the teams and closest to the score correct.
Yeah, send those bad boys in, man.
You teased like almost a prize?
I mean, we come up with something. It's not till February. We'll think of something to give you. Now, okay. You got to get you can't just get like one team in score. You got to hit it, which isn't easy to do. Because last year at this point, who would have had the 49ers being in the Super Bowl? Or 2 years ago at this point, who would have had the Rams being in the Super Bowl?
Well, that's true.
So we all think we know what the matchup's going to be, but I thought it'd be fun in case somebody does hit it.
Yeah. So you can give us your predictions there. Like Dirt said, we'll figure it out by February. We want to see if you guys can get the teams and maybe even get closest to the score. Hit us up on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We're going to talk to Robert Mays about the season coming up in 10 minutes. I also forgot to give you this. So the NFL challenge that we do here at 1080thefan.com, a little different this year. Everything's a little different this year, obviously. So we're going to mix it up.
Yes.
We're not going to do 30 minutes running down game by game. That's usually what we did do. We like doing that, by the way. That's not just lazy. We enjoy going game through game.
And we still will pick the games online.
Sure.
So you go to 1080thefan.com. You can see our picks, that kind of stuff.
You can follow the picks, see who's a loser, see who's a winner. We're going to have fun with it. So you know we're big degenerates here. We love to gamble. I already got my pick in for tonight on the Houston-Kansas City game. I didn't know if I wanted to go the over-under or if I wanted to just take the dog outright, which right now it's plus 355 for Houston to win.
Look at you.
Or if I wanted to go Texans at plus 9.
I already got my bets in tonight, too.
So you can do that, and we obviously talk a lot of gambling. We'll do it with Kevin Todd at 2:30. We're going to kind of mingle with the listeners on this one. You guys pick the best three games that you want us to gamble on, or that you want us to pick with the spreads.
In the NFL.
You can text them at the fan text line, and we will pick the first three games we get, and those are the games we do every week, and we're going to keep track of the record. So we'll use the games you guys want to know about, and then you can follow how bad or awful or just downright embarrassing we are at picking these games with the point spreads.
Yep, so text them in, and we'll do some gamble on them at 2:15 today because we've got a 49er preview, so we'll do it at 2:15.
And we'll do that every Thursday from here on out for the rest of the NFL season. So get those in at 503-250-1080. That being said, it's the NFL season.
Let's go.
It kicks off tonight. Our boss is now fired swag. She's now part of the
show. She's taking over the show. She's so excited for football season.
She's a huge Hawks fan.
Now, this is not to get a bonus or anything, but I am picking her team to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's just not to get a bonus.
I promise. This is not a coincidence. Did we just fire Sprague? I think Sprague just got fired, didn't we? Dual salary, solo show. Let's go. Huh? I'm trying to get ahead in the world here.
Something tells me we're going to play a round of golf determining whether she fires me or not. But, yeah, so everybody's jacked up, man. We finally got to this point. And I just want to throw it out there. I've made it abundantly clear. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty tired and already exhausted and rooting against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I watched Good Morning Football, and everybody's picking the Bucs to get the Super Bowl. I get it, but really?
Yeah, I saw a stat today that said, I'd have to go find it to make sure I get it correct, but it was something along the lines of this is the first regular season game Tom Brady has been an underdog in. In like 10, it's something crazy.
No, I have that stat.
Okay, yeah, find that stat because I saw that. It blew me away.
He hasn't been an underdog since week two of 2015. He's 74 straight games of being the favorite in his matchups.
And the easy tweet to that is, welcome to a real division where you're taking on the New Orleans Saints, who have been one of the best teams in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 years. We were just having a conversation with somebody the other day. They said they're probably the best team that hasn't won a Super Bowl over the last handful of years. It came close. Basically, every season, we all remember the controversy against the Rams 2 years ago. Welcome to playing in a real division, and it's going to be a gauntlet. I'm with you. The whole buy-in, I can see both sides of it. I think saying they're going to win the Super Bowl is a little over the top, and they're just the sexy pick. I did see in Vegas, I think most bets coming into Vegas are for Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl. It's not shocking. People want to gamble on those kind of storylines. I am fascinated, though, just to watch them at least this year to see how much Tom Brady has left in the tank. That's a team that was basically 500 with a quarterback throwing 800 interceptions last year. You've improved the skill position players on offense. I think the defense is passable and might improve from where they were last season. So I find them a fascinating story. I am nowhere near going towards touching them to win a Super Bowl, but just watching how they work with Brady, you know, him playing in the Arians offense in a very difficult division, it's going to be a great story for the NFL this season.
I think my out of blue, and we're going to have a couple listeners out there, one of which is a big friend of the show, my out of the blue, I've read about a lot about them. People seem to kind of be going all in as like a sleeper. I'm in on the Detroit Lions this year. Lions might make some noise, baby, and get one of those wild card spots.
Is Patricia still wearing the pencil in his hat?
Yes, he is. But his hat's forward now. It's not backwards. So that means he's to be taken seriously.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I think the toughest thing for Detroit is going to be the division that they play in. You still have to deal with Aaron Rodgers. I think Minnesota's maybe the most underrated team in the NFC coming into this year. Nobody really talks about them, despite the fact they made the playoffs and won a playoff game last year. In Chicago, we know how good they are defensively. And if you get Big D Nick Foles coming in late in the season as your reliever, look out for Chicago. That division.
Really?
That
we're going Nick Foles?
Hell yeah,
Come on.
He's got a ring. Get you one of these. Stafford's never won a playoff game. I am going there. That division's going to be absolutely brutal this year.
Yeah, I think it is. But I'm trying to look at sleepers because I think the favorites, I think we know the favorites, right?
We absolutely do.
Seattle, I actually think there's a possibility with the expanded playoff they have. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility there's three NFC West teams fighting for a playoff spot this year.
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
You know, I saw Lewis Riddick this morning. His bold prediction is that the Seahawks won't even make the playoffs. I can't get there when you have Russell Wilson at quarterback. I understand there are some holes in that, you know, what their roster is. I don't know how much I trust the pass rush, which if you don't have one, we know what that does to the secondary, no matter how talented they are.
No doubt about it.
I don't know quite about that offensive line. I know some people think it's it's been rebuilt to the point of being better. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But you have Russell Wilson. You can make up for a lot of deficiencies in whatever your roster is. So I can't get on with that bold prediction. I'm trying to find those just right there lurking underdogs that might end up having a good year. Yeah. And I think to point to the NBA, sure, the Clippers are probably going to get by. The Lakers are probably going to get by. You know, you have Boston or Toronto, so the two or the three. But the playoffs have been wild and fun and somewhat unpredictable to a certain extent in the NBA. I wouldn't be stunned if we had that in the NFL. So I'm trying to look at those right under the radar underdogs that are kind of laying in the weeds that might surprise people. Pittsburgh's a good one, right?
Yeah, they are.
People forget about Pittsburgh. They were 500 last year. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Big Ben. He's coming back now. Some people love the defense mixed with Big Ben coming back. Another team that could be a bit of an underdog.
I think a team that's in that category for me in the NFC is Philly. Philly won the division last year. I think people forget that from time to time. They had to play their playoff game against Seattle with Josh McCown at quarterback, who I think, by the way, is back as their on-location backup guy. He's staying at home in case COVID spreads through the locker room, which is a crazy storyline. They were decimated by injuries last season. I think Philly is a good under-the-radar team. The tough part about the NFC it's just brutal. The NFC is brutal. Now, a couple of these teams that we think are going to have good years always end up disappointing or falling flat. But you look, there's just not a lot of weaknesses in any of the divisions. I find the AFC on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. The AFC
Colts,
to me is wide open outside of Kansas City, Baltimore.
The most fascinating team. If Philip Rivers can find the magic, they could be really good and win that division.
Well, I think the two other teams I'll look at, if you're looking for sleepers for me this year, one of them, you're going to laugh because you've heard it before. The Raiders, to me, fall into that category if Derek Carr can find a way to have a good season this year.
I wouldn't laugh at it.
I think the Denver injury for Von Miller, I don't know what to make with their second-year quarterback.
You see Cortland Sutton was carted off today.
There's some stuff going on there. The Chargers, I think, have a great defense, but Derwin James now out for the season, so the pass rush is going to be good, but secondary might be weak, and Tyrod Taylor is limited in what he can do, and eventually they might play Herbert. You got a rookie quarterback. I don't trust that. So
no.
I think the Raiders could be a team that sneak into a playoff spot. The other one that I do look at because of the division they play in, and he's no longer eating In-N-Out, is the New York Jets and Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into year three, I don't know how I feel about Adam Gase, but you got a year three quarterback. New England, I expect to take a step back this year. Miami, I don't expect to be very good, although they did surprise last season. And Buffalo's great defensively, but I still think they have their issues at quarterback and on offense. So I think the Jets and the Raiders, to me, are two teams, if you're looking for sleepers that might come up and surprise, they fall into that category.
Very, very quickly, because we got Robert Mays coming up here. I want to ask both you and Swag, did you think we get to this point? Or did you think this was going to be delayed by a couple months? Let's take it back to whenever you want to take it back. When you thought of the NFL season, did you think we would get to actual opening day kickoff? Or did you think this was going to get pushed back?
I thought we'd get to opening day kickoff. I didn't know how long it would last. I am much more confident they're going to play a season.
Me too.
Yes, I agree with that.
Did you think it was going to kick off?
I did think it was going to
kick
off.
I thought it was going to get delayed. So kudos to the NFL. And kudos, by the way, to the players. They felt the financial pressure if they screwed up. And none of them have gone out and been reckless so far. It's been great news. So we get the kickoff tonight in the NFL. Houston at Kansas City. Let's talk to national NFL writer Robert Mays. He's one of our favorites. What does he think about this upcoming season? We got a lot to get to. We'll do it next for the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The the Fan.
Well, here we are. We got the NFL kicking off tonight. Houston at Kansas City, a rematch from the playoffs. Houston also beat Kansas City last year in the regular season, so there's a lot to discuss with the NFL as it's finally here. Robert Mays, national NFL writer. He works for The Athletic now, jumping from The Ringer to The Athletic, doing a great job on their podcast format and his article about the speed in the NFL and the way it's taken off and the way the teams view speed is a very, very good read. Go find it on his Twitter account, at Robert Mays, and he joins us now. Robert, thanks for hopping on with us, my man. There's a lot talked about with the Tampa Bay Bucs and some of the favorites in the NFL. Who is the team not getting enough attention that you think is a very fascinating watch this season?
Oh, man. I just did 32 team previews, and I think I have 32 answers to that question. I feel like I can find something worthwhile with all of them. Yeah. I'm just really looking forward to watching the Cardinals offense. Mm-hmm. I think year two with Cliff Kingsbury and with Kyler Murray and some of the flashes he showed last year, now they have DeAndre Hopkins. It just feels like that's a group that could be thrilling this year. We've seen so many quarterbacks take off in their second year as a starter, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. You know, I don't think Kyler Murray is going to quite be the MVP of the league the same way that those guys were. But I still think he has a chance to be a really exciting player in his second season.
Vice versa to that, too. I mean, you every year go in and think all the favorites are going to win and the NFL playoffs will be the same every single year, and there's always teams that disappoint. Are there any out there like that this year for you? You look, everybody's talking about them. They're the favorites, but you just don't quite see it.
I think that there are a lot of teams that I feel, their regression is something we could probably pinpoint. You know, whether it's the Packers, whether it's the Niners. I don't know if there are any teams that are near the top that'll fizzle. I mean, the Bucs are an unknown. I mean, it's no guarantee that they're going to be this contender from day one. I have faith in the overall just roster talent they have beyond Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and that coaching staff to do a good job. But I still think the teams, you know, really putting money on them and pumping them up to win a Super Bowl, I think that's a little bit premature. But other than that, I think it's just kind of the typical teams we see make the playoffs last season that are probably due for a step back, whether that's the Packers, the Niners, the Titans, the normal regression type stuff.
Yeah, national NFL writer Robert Mays is our guest. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Robert Mays. Who is the quarterback with the most to prove this season, Robert?
I mean, I guess you could say Mitchell Trubisky, right? I mean, that's just my own proximity to it.
Oh,
I mean, the fact that if he proved anything, it would be a lot. I think that Baker Mayfield is in kind of a unique spot because this is a guy that I feel like last year, if we're talking September 10th, 2019, we would have thought that he was kind of on the rise as to maybe being one of the next best great quarterbacks in the league. And it was such a step back with that season. I have a ton of faith in that offense and in Kevin Stefanski and in the talent around him for him to have a really nice bounce back year. So I think he has a lot to prove. I think the two other guys that typically wouldn't be on the list, but just because of circumstances, it feels like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady have a lot to prove. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that Green Bay went out and drafted a quarterback in the first round, the fact that the Patriots essentially showed Tom Brady the door, it's kind of strange that it feels like we've drum up interest in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, but it kind of feels like that's the point we've reached because the next kind of young group of quarterbacks is so good, so talented, and has sucked up so much oxygen that this golden age of quarterbacks that used to dominate the league has kind of drifted into the background to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's a good point. Drew Brees kind of fall into that category too. Sticking Absolutely. With the position on the younger guys, it's always a headline when the rookies end up starting and playing. We know Burrow's going to start right away in Cincinnati. Tua waiting on that one. Herbert waiting on that one. Just what kind of season do you expect from those three guys, and how much do you expect the latter two to play in such a weird year with training camp and no preseason, all that stuff going on?
I'll be really curious to see how enthusiastic the Dolphins are about throwing Tua in there, because this is a franchise. You know, a lot of times you have teams that just get overexcited and they aren't patient enough, and they do things just because the fans are clamoring for it and there's really nothing to lose. But this is a team that stuck so steadfastly to its mission to kind of bottom out and really lose games on purpose to a certain degree. If they kind of went away from that patience and threw him into the game before he was ready and before it was necessary, I would be surprised. And I think that the situation with the Chargers is not dissimilar in the sense that they don't need to throw Herbert in there. They have so much talent around him. I mean, this is a unique case. Usually when you're picking a quarterback in the top 10, you're a bad team. The Chargers aren't a bad team, and Tyrod Taylor isn't a bad quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's been rare for guys to sit for a long time in the last couple of years, but that's been with guys like Mike Glennon ahead of them. Mm-hmm. This is just a different circumstance with Tua and Herbert. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see either of them for at least the first half of the season, and maybe longer than that.
Yeah. Robert Mays is our guest. He wrote a really good article about how the evolution of speed has made its way into the NFL and the way that that kind of impacts the way teams are looking at talent. You can go find it on his Twitter account at Robert Mays and at theathletic.com. Now, let me ask you a two-parter on that, because I thought it was a really good read. One, you highlight Al Davis. You know, he was on this in 93, and we all made fun of him almost until he died about how he would draft guys with speed. Was Al Davis ahead of his day, and was he right? And two, do you like the way the NFL is evolving? I thought it was really interesting how you tied in the NBA with the three ball. But there's a lot of sports fans, Robert, that will tell you they don't like what the NBA is. They don't love seeing perimeter shots and watching 35% of those shots go in while there's a ton of misses. Do you like the way the NFL is evolving right now?
I think so. And I think that a lot of ways that speed impacts the game has been true for a long time. It's been true since Al Davis was thinking about it. I just think that when we think about speed, that idea isn't interrogated enough. People just think speed is good, and we don't really understand why. And it's not 80-yard touchdowns. It's just the space it creates for the rest of your offense. And I think the Chiefs are a perfect example of that. And I feel like the way that it has evolved, kind of what I wrote, is that it's just an extension of the types of quarterbacks we're seeing in the league. And I think that creates more excitement and a better aesthetic product. Teams want fast receivers because they have quarterbacks that can extend plays. And now broken plays are 50-yard touchdowns instead of, you know, guys coming back and running comeback routes like Jordy Nelson. So I feel like overall this contributes to a watchable product in the NFL rather than taking it away, like you could argue in basketball.
Yeah, the team that utilizes the college offense more than anybody is Baltimore, right? How much pressure is on Lamar Jackson this year? A lot has been made, the playoff record, not throwing the ball well, I should say, in the two moments he's been there. You kind of throw rookie year out, but last year a disappointing finish, losing in their first playoff game. How much pressure is on them to not only duplicate what they did last year, but then when they get to that moment, go out and have some success in the postseason?
I think you could say that about a lot of teams, right? I mean, there was probably some of that with Mahomes this year after losing in the AFC Championship game. You know, until you break through, there's always going to be pressure on you, and that's always going to be the narrative. I mean, hell, Andy Reid was like that for 20 years before it happened for him last year. So I think that there's some pressure, but for the most part, Mike, I'm more interested in how they kind of take a step schematically, how you try to take, you know, maintain a step ahead of defenses when they really have a ton of your film on you. They know how to attack you. I mean, I think the pressure will be there, but I think the pressure on them is more understanding what their next act is going to look like, even in the regular season.
Who is the coach on the hot seat for you? The coach that maybe the expectations are that they can get to the postseason, even be a viable contender for a Super Bowl championship, and if they don't, you wouldn't be stunned if they move on. I know there's guys on teams that may not be in that category, but who are the ones on the contenders that you think are on the hot seat?
Oh, gosh, I'd have to think about that. I mean, a lot of teams have relatively new coaches when you think about teams that are kind of in the playoff hunt. Well, Mike Zimmer just got extended. I think you probably would have thrown him in that group along with Rick Spielman before this offseason, but I think they did a very good job. I'd really have to think about that a little bit. I mean, Pete Carroll is so established. I think they've done a good job, even though if they didn't make the playoffs last year and this year and they underachieved, I mean, you could probably take a look at that regime and think maybe is it time to do something different with Russell Wilson, but I don't see that happening. So I don't know. I think that for the most part, a lot of the good coaches are pretty set. I mean, the first coach that comes to mind are the ones you'd expect, whether it's Marone or Matt Patricia or Adam Gase, but right. I'd have to think about that a little
while. What about Bill O'Brien? Because that's top of my mind.
Oh, that's,
you know, because I think a lot of people, Robert, want him. Yeah, maybe he's not the best coach for Deshaun Watson. They blew that lead. Not a good GM. You know, what have you, whatever your opinion. I was kind of wondering what you thought about him.
Well, the thing is, they've consolidated so much power with him in that organization that it feels like you almost couldn't move on from him if they had a bad year. I mean, he runs the team now. So he's gotten even more security probably in the last 12 months, even when you consider some of the moves he's made as a GM. So, no, I would be shocked no matter what happened with them if he ended up getting fired, just because it seems like they've ceded a huge portion of the control over to him in the last year.
On a negative note, who's the worst team in the NFL?
It's got to be Jacksonville, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at them.
Is anybody close?
I say Jacksonville, but I think that Carolina could sneakily give them a run for their money.
Okay.
Because Carolina, you look at them right now, they're doing a very similar – they haven't blown it up as obviously as Jacksonville did, just because Jacksonville had to – get rid of some younger, higher profile players and also had players worth trading for, mm-hmm. go take a look at the Carolina Panthers starting defense and think about how many guys you could have named before you looked at it.
Yeah,
I guarantee you it's not very many. I mean, they were really relying on Eli Apple to be a starting cornerback for them, which that's, you know, something to be noted in its own right. Mm-hmm. And now they have a rookie starting on that side with Dante Jackson. You have younger guys up front. I mean, it really is a youth movement for them in the same way that it is for some of these other teams that like Jacksonville. And I don't think we're talking about it quite as much because it's new with Matt Rhule and it's a little bit exciting and they have Teddy Bridgewater, but I'm not sure how much better of a quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is than Gardner Minshew. And I have no idea how good their offensive staff is going to be. Mm-hmm. And Jake Gruden's actually a pretty good play caller. And I think Minshew and DJ Chark and Laviska Shenault and a decent offensive line, I mean, they could move the ball theoretically. So I'm not sure it's a dead thing that Jacksonville's going to have the number one pick here.
National NFL writer Robert Mays, our guest. Find him on Twitter, at Robert Mays. He's fantastic. He just joined The Athletic. He's got a ton of great podcasts out there previewing every division. And one of them that I found interesting was the AFC East, because there's all this talk about Buffalo. I did not know this. I know Buffalo's defense is loaded. Former Oregon State Beaver Jordan Poyer, one of the captains. But it's offense. Josh Allen, Robert, has never thrown a 300-yard game in his career. Everybody's giving him that division. I'm over here thinking, God, Cam Newton might be healthy. Bill Belichick's just being disregarded right now. I kind of like New England. How do you feel about the division and trusting Buffalo?
I can trust Buffalo just because I have a ton of faith in the rest of the roster. You know, when the Bears were kind of doing what they were doing with Trubisky, or even what Jacksonville was doing with Bortles, they were really, the way we saw those teams was really rooted in one great defensive season that was driven by a lot of turnovers. It was more fluky than I think what has existed in Buffalo. And I think the rosters in Buffalo are much better put together. You know, they didn't have to go out and pay anybody as an outside free agent. They didn't really trade a lot of draft picks. I mean, mm-hmm. they traded one for Stephon Diggs, but you didn't give up anything there. The Bears and the Jags really pushed their chips all in and were weak in certain areas because of how aggressive they were. So I think that the cards kind of fell a lot quicker than it's going to happen in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's defense has been really deep consistently, and they don't rely on a bunch of turnovers. Mm-hmm. It's really a sound, complete group that just plays well and is well coached. And I think the offense, when you look at the line, is a solid group. They've done such a good job kind of piecing it together through free agency and the draft. The receiving core with John Brown, Stephon Diggs, and Cole Beasley is a really nice group, and I like the running back. So even if you don't love Josh Allen, I just think that that overall roster is better than some of these other cases we've seen lately. Is it enough to unseat the Patriots with Cam Newton and a really probably a good defense, even with pieces they lost? I don't know. But I do like that team, even if we have some questions about Josh Allen.
Hmm. All right, what's your Super Bowl pick this year?
I'm picking the Saints over the Chiefs. I just think that New Orleans, top to bottom, is the best team in the NFL. I mean, they are just so complete at every single spot. We had Kat Terrell, the Athletic Saints writer, on the preview down at the South yesterday, and I was asking her, you know, where are the cracks kind of in the foundation here? And she was like, yeah, you know, their second nickelback isn't very good. I was like, yeah, that's the point we've reached with the Saints. I mean, you have all these teams around the league that have, you know, two viable starters on defense, and the Saints' backups could start for most of these teams. And I just think that in a season where there's so much uncertainty, where continuity matters, where depth is going to matter, I always try to think about how many, if we played the season 100 times, how many times is this team good and how many times is this team bad? And I just think with the Saints, they're better more often than any other team, because even a quarterback injury, they could survive if you consider Jameis Winston a really high-level backup quarterback, which I do. I mean, the Chiefs don't even have that. So I just think that every iteration of the season ends with the Saints being an above-average team, and I can't say that about anybody else.
You know 99% more about football than I ever will. You're wrong. Taysom Hill is the backup. Jameis is now the third-string guy, okay? So watch out for Taysom
Hill. I'll be really curious to see what happens if one of those ass actually gets hurt, because exactly. I have a feeling that Taysom Hill will not be playing quarterback. He just knows how you he is.
Keep up the great work. Robert Mays, the Athletic National NFL writer. He has done an exceptional job since moving over there, done all of these podcasts, breaking down the divisions for previews. Robert, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for getting back to us, hopping on today. Enjoy the season, and we are without a doubt going to reach out and get you back on down the road.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, there we go. Really good stuff from Robert Mays, National NFL writer. Great insight on a lot of things in the NFL. We'll give some predictions coming up next, and then we'll transition with John Hollinger to the Blazers and what he thinks they should do at 1 o'clock. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. All right, man, this show is going to go by quick because hour one's almost already done. We've got John Hollinger, national NBA writer, former front office exec. Also worked for ESPN back in the day. He's going to join us at one. He mentioned some teams to watch this offseason going into next year. The Blazers were one of them. Thinks they'll be better. Doesn't think they're a legit title contender. So we want to kind of pick his brain on if there's any moves. You know, because a lot of people are diving into the Giannis or trading CJ or whatever. Mm-hmm. Are those even viable? Like, I love that we just assume all these teams are going to give up great assets for CJ McCollum, who's never made an All-Star game.
Yeah, come on.
So I'd love to pick his brain on what he thinks of the backcourt duo and what this team is moving forward. But a couple minutes here. I want to give a quick shout out. I ended up finding it. The name of the firefighter.
Yes.
The friend of a friend. He is the brother of one of somebody I ran Hood to Coast with. He's been fighting fires for like 36 out of like 40 hours. It's been incredible out at Hag Lake. His name's Kevin. And I got to say the last name slow because I'm an idiot. Van Odenhagen.
Sure.
Okay. I'm not going to try to say that fast because I'll screw it up.
I'm just call him Kev, man.
But we commend you, Kev, and many others like you that are out there. So thank you for your service. Who is going to win the league MVP? Go.
Russell Wilson.
Drew Brees.
How did I take your pick? Yeah. Drew Brees going to do it, hon. His old age? Old Drew?
He can do it.
They have set him up with so many weapons.
They have.
That he's just, provided he doesn't have some freak weird broken thumb again, his stats are going to be so insane. And I just think it's going to be, and I think the Saints might have a, they might have a 14-2 record. I know that that division's pretty tough.
The division is tough.
God, 14-2 and 15-1. It's entirely possible, but that's just, it's always risky to go quite that high.
Mm-hmm.
Two losses the whole year.
So Atlanta could be a team that surprises people this year.
Well, I don't think Matty Ice is going to get it. I think if they have a great year, it's going to be Julio who gets the
recognition?
The recognition, yeah. Sure. I think he's going to be the guy if it goes that direction. I, too, also think it's going to be Russell, but just to be different, I will say Matty Stafford.
Yeah, so much is... Man, I love that you're all in on the Lions, dude.
All in. I mean,
this is great.
I think they can
make it. You got to die on this hill now, baby.
I think they're going to be better than the Packers.
We each have our team in the NFC North. Let's do this, baby. Although I'm going to adopt the Bears at 2 at some point when they start Nick Foles. Not until Nick Foles starts, but when they do, I'm on the Bears bandwagon.
Yeah.
They got to get rid of Mitchell Trubisky first. Yeah, the Russ thing, I think so much has been made of him not getting an MVP vote despite the seasons that he's had the last handful of years. And I think that's going to stick in the back of voters' minds. If he has one of those years that if he stays healthy, 30-something touchdowns, 6-7 interceptions, 4,500 yards, somewhere in that ballpark in Seattle's a playoff team, unless you get a Lamar Jackson going crazy again or Mahomes stays healthy and throws for 75 touchdowns, I think Russ will win one because he's deserved one over the last couple of years.
I also think Deshaun Watson is a great bet.
Yeah.
That's my last thought on the MVP stuff.
The thing with Deshaun, I worry about him because of Houston's defense.
Sure.
He's going to have to do
throwing it to now?
Well, he's got Will Fuller. Brandon Cooks will play. Kenny Stills is grossly underrated.
Kenny Stills is a good wide receiver.
I think their backfield could be okay.
If it was 2013.
Number one fantasy player, yes, David Johnson.
You have to draft David Johnson.
I'll never forget that fantasy draft.
He's going to be a stud.
And how many listeners thought I was an idiot for not wanting David Johnson first overall?
First quarter goes
gone.
Done for the entire year.
Never forget that one.
When he's going to have to run around and make plays, I also don't trust his head coach either, but they got a chance to prove us wrong and pull off an upset tonight.
All right, we'll get back into the NFL coming up a little bit later on, but we're going to pivot the Portland Trailblazers. They were written about by John Hollinger. Doesn't quite think they're going to be a title contender. What does he think they need to do in the offseason? Or does he think the best approach is just to run it back? He wrote about him. We'll talk about him next with John Hollinger. Hour number 2, Dirt and Sprague, back with more on The Fan.